You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Coming up to 11:49, we welcome to Zoomer Radio Doug. Where is his name here? Doug Weir, Dr. Doug Weir. He's the president of the Ontario Medical Association. Dr. Weir, thanks very much for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Now, listen, you have a new report out today that's trying to point up the incredibly serious problem we have battling obesity. Every time we look at these figures, they seem to get, I'm sure you'll agree, worse and worse.
That's right. Right now in Ontario, 60% of adults in Ontario are either overweight or obese. In children, it's 31.5% are either overweight or obese. And these, both the adults and the children, really are at risk for a number of health problems, diabetes, liver disease, sleep apnea, chronic kidney disease. Yeah. And we want to do something to make sure that we can start addressing these.
I think one of the most frightening things, when you talk about 31.5% of Canadian children, almost one in three, right?
Right.
And now overweight. That's up from 14% to 18% in the early 80s, not that long ago.
That's right.
How high can the... I guess...
Well, we don't want it to get any higher.
Well, no,
that's
of course
we
not.
We want to do something now before it does get higher.
And so what are some of the things you want to do?
So what we want to do is we want to learn from our efforts to get people to stop smoking. In the 60s, about 50% of people were smoking, and that was reduced to about 20% now. And some of the ideas we have really come from that. So, for example, increasing the taxes on junk food, decreasing the taxes on healthy foods, restricting the marketing of fatty and sugary foods to children so we don't advertise so much to them. Retail displays of have to have more information so that consumers can make healthy choices. Restricting the availability of sugary, low nutritional value foods in sports and other recreational facilities that children hang out in. And place of graphic warning labels on pop and other high-calorie foods that have little or no nutritional value, much like we have warning labels on cigarette packages.
Yeah, and you're thinking then that these measures would require legislation to be put into effect.
Well, clearly most of them would require legislation, so our plan is to pass these recommendations on to the government, along with others that we've already made around menu labeling in chain restaurants, making physical activity mandatory throughout high schools, that all of these measures, because it's not just one thing, but it's a basket full of measures that we need to do to combat obesity.
What kind of reaction have you been getting to these kinds of recommendations so far?
Well, so far, I think people want to do something about this. People see that this is a huge problem, so it's been a positive reaction to date.
Yeah. But what about the government? I mean, have you had any indications that this is something, or perhaps even individual politicians, something they could take up in the legislature?
Well, so we've just made this announcement today, so it's too early to tell. But
you had your earlier set as well. I'm thinking about those.
There's two things that we do know, is that the government is committed to reducing childhood obesity by 20% in the next 5 years. If they're going to do that, they're going to have to take some bold initiatives and some aggressive policy steps, much like what we're recommending, if they're going to turn that around. Similarly, in terms of the menu labeling, which we put forward, Dalton McGuinty came out in favor of that. The NDP health critic had introduced a private member's bill in favor of that.
Wow.
So we're confident that we would get the support of the politicians in terms of doing something to address the obesity epidemic.
But from a practical point of view, the private member's bills are all dead and Dalton McGuinty's on the way out the door.
But government is still working, and we want to make sure that when they do come back that we have things in place that we can get this going.
Get a little ahead of them so you can present the legislature with things that could actually be done, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. When we report on obesity in children, the sad fact is that obesity for many kids is carried through to adulthood, is it not?
That's right. 75% of kids who are either overweight or obese will be overweight or obese as adults.
Is that also a higher number than a number of years ago, that progression of, too heavy as a kid and then too heavy as an adult?
Well, I think it's always been the case that kids who were obese or overweight were at risk of becoming obese or overweight as adults.
Yeah.
So I think in that way, though, that we just, it's the fact that there's so many more children now that are obese that we're going to see an even greater number of obese adults if we don't start taking steps today to turn that around.
And a lot of this, of course, is, at least with the children in any event, related to activity, is it not?
Right, and that's why we're also making the recommendation about making phys ed mandatory in the schools. But the reality is that it's the food intake which is the number one factor in terms of contributing to obesity. Activity alone is not going to reduce that if we don't do something about the high caloric intake that people are have in their diets these days, especially children.
So kids today must be taking in a lot more calories than kids of a number of years ago.
That's
it must simply be that, right?
Yep, that's the biggest factor, is the increase in calories that people are consuming as children. And that's the thing we have to make sure that people, and parents in particular, in my experience, I'm a child psychiatrist, when I talk to parents about this, oftentimes what they're lacking is information. So, for example, people often think, for example, that fruit juice is a healthy choice over soda pop. Hmm. The reality is fruit juice actually has more calories in it than the average soda pop. So if you have a can of grape soda pop, for example, it has about 160 calories. That same amount of grape juice actually has about 260 calories.
Yeah, but that's our problem, isn't it, generally speaking, with processed foods and processed drinks like that. Often we're not aware or really aren't being told in plain language exactly what's in it.
No, and that's why we're emphasizing labeling these so that it's very clear, both that these are foods that are high in calories and with very little nutritional value, but also in that it puts you at risk for obesity.
But when you talk to parents in situations like this in your regular work, are they surprised to hear some of the things you can tell them about what's good for their kid or what's not good for their kid?
Yeah, no, oftentimes parents are surprised that they haven't really thought about it. But also they struggle. They struggle with trying to get their kids to eat less calories or less high-calorie foods. And in part, it's available everywhere. It's advertised everywhere. So it's always a struggle for parents to try to get kids to eat healthily.
Well, exactly. That's the number. It's going to require some attitudinal changes, isn't it, down the road?
Well, that's what I mean. I think it's our whole culture has to change to put a better emphasis on healthy eating as opposed to eating that has really this junk food which has got high calories and very little nutritional value, and making people more aware of what those foods are.
But we've been saying this for some time, and I'm not trying to pour cold water on your proposals. I think they're exactly what needs to happen. But the point is, people have been saying this for some time now, we don't seem to be making a lot of progress.
No, and I think that's one of the reasons we're trying to learn from our experience with tobacco. So things like the number one effort that affected tobacco consumption was an increase on taxes on tobacco. So increasing the tax on junk food and making it decreasing the tax on healthy foods would be a major change that would probably have a huge impact on obesity rates.
It's amazing, isn't it, Doctor, that we talk about tobacco and its health effects and sugary foods and their health effects kind of in the same breath.
Well, and if you look at the statistics, the second most preventable cause of chronic illness in the population is, in fact, obesity.
Got a lot of work ahead of us, don't we?
And we got to start getting on it, and we got to move aggressively because we can't take the same time frame that it took to lower tobacco rates as we're going to try to lower obesity rates.
Because if nothing happens or if few things happen of any importance, there's no reason to believe that number, that obesity statistic, will stay where it is. It's likely to grow, isn't it? Is that not your fear?
That's the risk, that it would grow. And we will see. The other part is that they're predicting now that children who are obese are going to, in fact, live shorter lifespans. This is the first time that the lifespan of the population they're predicting may go down as opposed to going up.
That means that, we may live longer lives than our kids.
That's right.
That's just the saddest thing you can say, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Weir, thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Dr. Doug Weir is the president of the Ontario Medical Association, out with their new report, a report that at some point should wind up in the legislature. when it gets back in business. When that seriously will happen, won't be for a while. We got to go through that whole rigmarole with electing a new leader, recalling the House. There'll be an election campaign, more than likely. And then these things will still need to be dealt with. One of many important issues that you need a legislature in order to accomplish. And Dr. Weir talks about private members' bills. Well, they're gone too. They got to start all over. And there were many of them. Some 109 bills, some of them government, many of them private members' bills, died when the legislature was prorogued.
Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.